for all that the angels are doing, and especially in this prayer walk, I believe that there's some things that has been more and more things are being revealed, and we're going to flow with that, especially as we prepare for this prayer walk and in the building altars around all the various countries in the world, starting with Singapore on October the 26th. And it is very important to the dimension of the Spirit, so important to the revival that God is going to bring, so important that all the angels from the seven churches are going to come especially for that. So important to the dimension of the Spirit that even in preparing for all these things that God wants to do from Pergamos and in the trip to Madaba, that we have 30 archangels visiting from other parts of the universe. And what we little humans do are very important to the whole equation. We might not feel like it, we might not realize it, but it is very important. And in that line, we want to flow with all that is being revealed. And we are able to tie it with the messages that we have been teaching also online and also on this Friday night on the presence of God. And as we teach on the presence of God, one of the things that we consider on the presence of God is that God releases His presence by degrees. And He reveals Himself from glory to glory as we are able to take His glory. His revelation to the people in the Bible, particularly Moses, has shown us how He reveals Himself by degrees. And at each degree that He reveals Himself, He always requires preparation. And that's what we want to consider. We want to consider two things tonight. They are linked to the presence of God. One is obedience. The other is to understand the name of God. And in terms of obedience, let's look at the book of Exodus. That the book of Exodus takes about 1 year to complete. They came out from the land of Egypt. They enter into the promised land. They're about to enter the promised land. Supposedly, they're supposed to go in after they have done that within a year, but they delayed themselves for 40 years. And they spent 1 year in the wilderness. Now, the journey would have taken them by route maybe a couple of weeks or months, if you want to drag longer. It certainly would not have taken them 40 years. It certainly would not have taken them 12 months. The journey, if they rest and walk a little bit every day, they would have completed it in weeks. If not, if at the most they delay it a bit here and there, in months. Definitely not 12 months. Why do they delay going into the promised land until it's about a year later that they stood at the shores and they sent the 12 spies in? It's because for 1 year they were busy building all the different parts of the furniture. Moses went up in the book of Exodus, chapter 19 and 20, to the glory of God the first time. And then there was a slight delay because he came down and the Israelites had worshipped the golden calf. Then the golden calf was destroyed. Moses fasted and prayed for them for 40 days. Then he went again for another 40 days to receive the second commandment. And then after that, they started building these pieces of the furniture according to the pattern and plan that God has given to Moses. It took them 1 year. 1 year of blood, sweat, and tears. Blood because some people died in disobedience. Sweat because there was labor, hard labor in the sun, and to form those things. Some of the things cannot be poured into a mold. Some of the things had to be beaten from one piece of gold. They had to beat up the whole thing. And all the pieces. And that's harder work than just melting it and pouring it into a mold. And so God's instruction was very specific. Takes them a lot of blood, sweat, a lot of tears, and in bringing everything to pass. And at the end of 1 year, in Exodus chapter 40, it tells us that everything was complete. But though it was complete, they needed to assemble the whole thing together. Now, that's quite something like the 2 years that we're going to take to build altars around the world following in obedience to what God has instructed us. During the time that you're doing the work of God, imagine like Bezalel and all the other people who are anointed by God to build those things, the women who got all the things to sew. As they were sewing, as they're building those things, they could sense a measure of the presence of God, but a lot of it is just hard work. A lot of it is just getting up every day, continuing the work. And they don't finish the thing in one day. And the next day, they could go about it and keep hammering at the thing or doing whatever work God asked them to do. Day by day, it was hard work. And in the midst of the hard work, they might not have felt the presence of God so much, although for them, they could see the visible presence of God. But hard work is just plain hard work. The same way that we know God is present in our midst, but it's hard work, obeying God and doing all those little details that God asks us, and He gives us 24 months to build all the altars in the world. And in terms of the dreams that Pastor David had where they were the five trees that we go out to bring, and then after that there was the plastic tree followed by the seven other trees that we're going out to get, and I think that was also given, right? I believe it was inside. I always keep the booklet somewhere here. Right. Okay. See? Kept your booklet nicely. And so I remember that you did mention about the trees somewhere inside and going forth to bring out all those trees. Well, yes, that's on the last page there. Buying new trees for Cathedral of Glory. And then the voice said, we were going out and the vendor who was selling the trees said, each tree was $5 and select any tree in the yard. And that is on a dream that Pastor David had on July the 3rd, and when he was among the seven churches. And then the voice in Syria. Jordan, right? Okay, this is the second trip to Jordan. Okay, this was in Jordan, July, 4th of July, Independence Day. And by the way, 4th of July also is the anniversary of our church. Ah. Yes. What a timing, isn't it? Now I just noticed it, 4th of July. And when we launched our first service, and it's the same as American Independence Day in the movie also. But it says here, then I heard a voice say, don't pay $5, it's only $3 each. So we started to select the trees. And the $5 and the $3 represent the timing. In other words, from the scripture I mentioned, God was saying, don't take 5 years, finish this in 3 years. And so whatever we are supposed to do, we must finish in 3 years. We have finished the first phase in the first 12 months. And then we got the second phase within 12 months we must finish, which is the six countries, including Singapore. And then we have the other seven countries, which is the third phase. So we got phase one, phase two, phase three. And although the voice says 5 years, we could have taken 5 years, but the voice says, you know, must do it in 3 years. That's the meaning of the amount of money. And then the five trees that were brought back represent the second phase. That is Singapore being our base here. Singapore is the base, and it is the six countries that we're visiting in the second phase. And Singapore being our base, we are going out to five countries. In our second phase, the five countries that we're visiting after Singapore on the October 26th is Malaysia on November the 12th, and where we build the altar. And then after that is Australia, then is New Zealand, and then after that is Seoul, and then China, and then we come back here, we finish the second phase. And the trees represent the five anointings that will be increased and imparted upon our lives when we come back. With each completion of each country, when we complete Singapore, there will be an increase. That's why the seven angels are going to come and increase it to the level of anointing. And after October 26, there will be a higher level of anointing. Which is why the archangel, whom we code name Shama, and I'll explain about names afterwards, that's not his original angelic name. He has told us that by September, the church will have passed the first milestone. And we have. In September, we have passed the first milestone. And indeed, from October, we launch into phase two. And that's why he has been able to see the future. He has anticipated all our ability to obey God. And so in this second phase, with each phase, like when we finish Malaysia, when we finish October 26th here, there will be a different level of anointing. Then when we finish Malaysia, there will be one more anointing tree added. And with each place, what we're going to do is when we finish building the altar, which will be here, we have one stone, special stone that will represent Singapore. And then we mark it as Singapore. And then from each place where we build the altar, we will select a stone to be part of the altar that we will bring back and add here. And we will mark it as Malaysia. And so from Malaysia, we'll bring a stone. And then when we finish Australia, bring the altar, anointing, dedicated to the Lord, we will bring one stone back here. And so all the five trees will be brought back symbolically like anointings that the Lord brings. There will be five anointings that we will receive in the in addition to the Singapore anointing, there will be five anointings that we receive when we finish phase two. After that, there will be seven anointings. That explains the seven trees. So the seven trees represent the third phase. And in between, of course, the second phase and the third phase, there is this plastic tree that we do not know what it is yet. But we know that something of the enemy will crop up between phase two and phase three. Now, mark these words, because it has not happened yet. No one can conceive what it is. But between phase two and phase three, the enemy will show his hand in this plastic tree or fake tree. And if the trees represent an anointing, there will be something fake coming, representing perhaps some ministry or some anointing, but it's a hall of fake thing. And they try to assume, align with the other trees, other dreams, assume different things. But there will be seven other anointings when we begin to travel from Canada to the US and then to Brazil, Argentina, and then afterwards we go to England and Greece, and then we finish with South Africa, and then in Madabar, the final stone, we'll also bring back one from there. And then we will complete the seven trees. And there will be seven more anointings that we will receive. So as we can see, that God has told us, and more or less, when I was praying about that, God did give Leviticus, which I mentioned before, where he says that when Aaron has obeyed everything, God will show his glory. And when we have done all those things, with all this addition of five anointings, but seven anointings, there will be an increase of the glory of God. And so here in Exodus chapter 40, it is hard work that they build it for the year. But as they finish everything, Moses started putting everything up. And so much so that it's almost repetitious that it becomes almost redundant. But because the word of the Lord is so important, he has to say in that manner. In chapter 40, it says, after the Lord says, you shall do all these things, in verse 16, Exodus 40:16. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. That's exactly one whole year. Counting from the new counting system, when they came out, God says, this is your first month. And so then starts again their first month of the second year. Took them exactly 12 months. On the first day of the month, the tabernacle was raised up. And then Moses raised all those things. He spread the tent. I took the testament, the testimony, put it in an ark, inserted the poles, everything he put accordingly. And always you have the phrase that comes out in verse 19, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then verse 21, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then verse 23, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 25, he lit the lamp before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then he burned sweet incense in verse 27, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And verse 29, they did everything and put the altar of burnt offering as the Lord. And it says, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He set the laver before the tabernacle, and Moses, Aaron, his sons, all these were washed. In verse 32, when they went in tabernacle meeting, when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then verse 33, at the ending, so Moses finished the work. Remember the word, finish the work. Then verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of God filled the tabernacle. And this time in verse 35, even Moses couldn't go in. It was so thick. Now, all the other glory he could go in. But this glory was so thick, he could not go in. Remember the reputation. As the Lord had commanded Moses. As the Lord had commanded Moses. As the Lord had commanded Moses. As the Lord commanded Moses. Every detail he has to do accordingly. And finish everything. Put it all together. Then the glory of God came forth. And remember, the Lord commands us. The Lord commands us to be an altar, which is why every little detail is important. And to the detail of even finding the stones. So that when I realize that we have to be an altar, I also know straight away that we will not find stones just during the prayer walk. It's not easy to find those stones. And it took us time, took us a few days to look into it. Then we realized we can't, and then we have to make a special trip all the way to get most of the stones from there. But we still found stones here and there. And to be able to put the altar of the Lord. These are the way we show obedience. With obedience comes the presence of God. See, some of us are wondering why the presence of God are not increasing in our life. Why the presence of God remains stagnant, or even why the presence of God is diminished in our life. Because we have not continually obeyed the Lord. With each level of obedience, with each level of listening to the Lord and doing exactly as He commanded, the presence of God grows stronger. Now, the thing about the commandments of God and being obedient to them is it is not always without blood, sweat, and tears. While you're doing those things, it is a very difficult job sometimes. For us, it's not that difficult like the people had it in the Bible. But there's another time that God instructed them to do various things. It took them 7 years to build the temple of Solomon. 7 years to build the temple of Solomon. And that one could have taken longer if David did not do part of the job already. If David had not provided a lot of the materials and stones and everything else, so that Solomon only had to go and provide what was lacking, it still took them 7 years to build the tabernacle or to build the temple of Solomon. And we see here in the book of First Chronicles that as the plans were handed over to Solomon, after David realized that God wants him to build the house of God, in chapter 22 of 1 Chronicles, David says, this is the house of the Lord God. This is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And so, even when he was ruling and reigning, even though he cannot be the one who built the temple, Solomon was the one to do it. From David's time, he already started preparing. So we would say that it actually took longer than 7 years. If you count the number of years that David took to accumulate all the materials. In verse 2, David commanded to gather the aliens within the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut hewn stones to build the house of God. That's hard work. For them, they have to cut the stones. Imagine the stone cutter, and you know that this is from the Lord, and this is for the house of God. The sweat that is going to come for many, many years. And this is not even counting the 7 years of Solomon. And David prepared iron in abundance, nails for the doors of the gates, for the joints, bronze in abundance, because David already got the architectural plan. He got a pattern from the Lord. God already revealed to him. And was for cedar trees in abundance. And then he continued preparing until he passed on everything to his son when he was old. And so the number of years was not actually recorded. But you could assume could have been another 7 years. And that he gathered all the materials. And then by the time it came to Solomon in the book of 2 Chronicles, in the book of 2 Chronicles, it tells us here in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, 2 Chronicles, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at a place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. And this is the foundation which Solomon laid for building the house of God. The length was 60 cubits. And then he began to describe all the various dimensions. And it tells us him starting the part. And finally, at the end of about 7 years in chapter 5, all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, all the furnishing, and he put them in the treasuries of the house of God. So finally, everything was completed. 7 long years. We should praise God. It's going to take us only 3 years. 1 year has passed. We got another 2 more years to go to build altars in the Lord. For us, the world is our parish. And we are building on chosen countries that the Lord has chosen, all over, representative of the world. We literally travel to all the 5 continents. It's like a canopy that we cover the earth in this revival that God has commanded us to do. And as always, when you obey the command of God, the presence of God comes. At the end of obedience, Solomon prayed this prayer, and even as they were dedicating in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, even while they were worshipping, no prayer was made yet. That sacrifice and all those things, all the usual things they need to do. And then when the singers were as one in chapter 5 verse 13, came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet, cymbals, instruments of music, praise the Lord, saying, "For He is good and His mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So some people ask, this is the decade of glory. When will the glory come? The glory come when we finish obeying God and His commandments. And we thank God that we got specific commands that are doable. God has not asked us to do things that we on our human side cannot do. Those belong to the angels. But to us humans, He gave us things that are doable. And it looks small to us, but don't take it lightly, please. Don't take it lightly. Which is why, you know, when you're picking stones, when you're doing this, you don't take things lightly. Which is why among the stones we collected, we also rejected some. As they were being washed, we realized that some don't make the mark. And they were all cast away. And then we only kept the stones that we discern as much as we can to be original and natural. And the same way, it takes time. I mean, there's a lot of effort. When Pastor David went to do a reconnaissance in Malaysia, I mean, he went all over the place, and then after that, he said, "Oh, it's actually Mount Ophir," Right. It's a far away place. But all the effort was important. It was part of the effort of obedience. And with obedience comes the glory of God. And if we do not obey, we can't expect the glory. But when we obey, the glory of God will manifest. Especially when we finish the work. But while we are doing the work, there's blood, sweat, and tears. Don't complain. Just keep doing it and obeying God. And when we finish, we can expect the glory of God to manifest. So here you have Solomon. When he has built this place and he dedicated it to the Lord. The whole chapter 6 is almost a dedication prayer. And Solomon said in chapter 6 verse 1, the Lord said he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. But he recognized one thing, which is mentioned in his prayer. How can God in heaven dwell on the tiny little earth? So in his prayer, he didn't actually pray just for God's presence. He prayed for God's name to be put in the place. You can see here. See, the name of God is related to the presence of God. Chapter 6. As he prayed, he says in verse 14, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth, fulfilled with your hand, as it is this day. And then in verse 18, but will God indeed dwell with man on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? So he realized the whole earth is created by God. Whole heavens are created by God. God cannot be contained. And but he asked for only one thing. He says, yet regard the prayer of your servant and listen to the cry and prayer of your servant. And he says in verse 20, let your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name. In other words, God put his seal on them. God puts his name, and that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place. So he recognized God cannot, his presence is too great to be on earth. But he says, God, on this place, let there be a 24-hour channel where you hear and put your name on it. Put your stamp on it. And then he talked about how when people seek you in this place, hearken and listen. Basically, because this place now contains your name. This is where a place where you are marked. Then verse 33, he again says, then hear from heaven, when your people come, he says, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. So heaven is your real dwelling place. And do according to all for which a foreigner calls you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. In other words, it become associated and the place that was built become one with you. Anything that is done here is as if it is done in your presence. Anything that is spoken here is as if it's spoken right at your throne. That's the meaning of the name. The name and God is one. So this place become representative of that, and God show his answer to that prayer. That at the end of the prayer, in chapter 7, verse 1, fire came down from heaven. Consumed the burnt offering. And again, a second time, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not go in, because the glory of the Lord fill the Lord's house, and all the people here saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple. They bowed their face to the ground on the pavement and worship and praise the Lord, saying, he is good, his mercy endures forever. Now, what did God do? God put his name on the place. And because God put his name on the place, ever since the time of Solomon, there's always a cherubim watching over the place. Even when the temple was destroyed the first time, then rebuilt again the second time, destroyed again the second time, and now there's no temple there except one wall. But on one of the wall, which is a western wall, which is the wall next to the Holy of Holies, there's still a cherubim standing there. Because God put his name there. It's interesting that God honors the dedication of human work. We say, Lord, we want your presence. Presence of God and the name of God are one and related. Now notice that God reveals his presence sometimes by revealing his name. And as we grow to know him more and more, he is known by many names. We know there are the seven Jehovahs. Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sekenu, and Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, and all the different Jehovahs. But the real pronunciation we all realize is Yahweh. Yahweh, which is means the I am. Then plus all the other Old Testament's name of God. Adonai, which is a general word for Lord. And then we got all the different L's. And especially El Shaddai. And El Elyon, the Most High God. And all the different L's that are mentioned in the Bible. These are the names of God. And in the book of Exodus chapter 3, when God met Moses, God was going to bring another level of manifestation. And God says here, as he revealed himself, when Moses said to God, in verse 13, Exodus 3 verse 13, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That was his name. That was the name Yahweh. Yahweh. And it was like the first person. I am. Now, it sounds simple in our English language, but it's very comprehensive in God's language. It's only our language that makes it look as if. Now, the I am is like to understand what I am is, it is more like, it's the same derivation of he is. Like, he is this, he is that. And that he is turned into the first person, I am. It's like God say, I'm the source of all things. I'm the whole being of all things. And that was the revelation of a new name that God gave to Abraham. That is rather to Moses. But God did mention something about his relationship with Abraham and his revelation of God's presence to Abraham, which was not revealed until Moses' time. That was when Moses went to Egypt, and while he was there in Egypt, he got slightly discouraged because he expected that God would straight away answer. And only God knew that, you know, this thing's going to take time. And so you have in chapter 5, the first encounter that they had with Pharaoh. And during this first encounter that he has with Pharaoh, Moses, of course, expected instant answer after God sent him and with all the signs and wonders that God has sent him. And this was when Moses went forth and encountered the Lord. And Pharaoh did not yield. So in verse 22, God says to him, chapter 5, 22. Moses returned to the Lord. Lord, why have you brought trouble? See, he thought it's going to be easy. But slowly he learned. You know, God never revealed there's going to be 10 plagues. He always revealed one step at a time. But among the things God said in chapter 6, verse 1, Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. With a strong hand, he will drive them out of his hand. And the Lord, God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob as God Almighty. The word Almighty is El Shaddai. Now, in my translation, which I have a translation, it says, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai. But by my name, Yahweh, I was not known to them. Hey, look, God says, I didn't reveal my name. I reveal a name, but there are many, many names of God. So you notice, our God has many names. Remember the seven Yahweh names. You know, Yahweh, Shalom, Jehovah names. And then there's El Elyon, the Most High God, which is like a common name for God. El Elyon is equivalent to the Chinese Tikong, the God who is in the heaven. That's a very common. Most of the people who were heathen know the El Elyon. And even our English translation of the name God, and different languages have different names for God. That is like a general name for God. Then sometimes they refer God as the Most High God. In general, the whole world has El Elyon in their own language. But very few know El Shaddai. Moses knew God by El Shaddai. He loved El Shaddai. When God appeared in Exodus to him, when he was 99 years old, God says, I am El Shaddai. See, God introduced his name. What is a name? What is in a name? We learn about the meaning of names when God created everything, and before God created the woman, God showed all the animals that he has created to Adam, and Adam named them. As God brought each animal, Adam named them. Because the name, the ability to name them, is the ability to identify what the animal's character and work, and what it can do. What is its basic integral character, and what was its ability, and the work that can be brought forth from an animal, the nature of the animal, and everything else. And so that's the simple definition of name. Now, in a human relationship with God, some humans don't believe in God. They're completely outside the circle. But those who believe God, they will just know God as God. And then those who respect God a little bit more, God is El Elyon, the God of the heavens, the Most High God. But Abraham knew God more than that. God revealed to him. The first time God met him, God says, I'm El Shaddai. Of course, God could use an angel to represent him. I'm El Shaddai, God says. It's only under Moses' time that God says, I am Yahweh. I am Yahweh. I am that I am. And then throughout all the other ages, God revealed Yahweh this and Yahweh that and the name of God. To the Hebrews, God's name was so holy, they don't dare to pronounce it. They do not dare to pronounce that name. And it's the English translation that, you know, that we began to use the name Yahweh. And then the Old English derivate it to be romanized as Jehovah, which is actually a poor derivation of the original Hebrew word for God, or I am that I am. Then through time, God sent his son. Now, Jesus was originally known as the Word. Such a simple name. God was just known, the origin of God, God was just the Father. And then there was a Spirit. And then Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. But the Word came in John chapter 1, verse 14, and became flesh. When the Word became flesh, the Word took on a new name. The angels proclaimed, His name shall be Jesus. And the word Christ is because all the prophecies prophesy about Him, Christ the Anointed One. So the name Jesus was a new name. And of course, to the Hebrew, it would sound like Yeshua, which means God is my salvation. But in the Greek, it was new, Jesus. And God was revealing a new name. As God revealed a new name, through time, Jesus did everything, and Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and when everything is placed under Jesus' hand, Philippians chapter 2 says that God exalted the name of Jesus. So that every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things on earth, things underneath the earth, shall bow to the name of Jesus. Suddenly God revealed Himself by the name of Jesus. And then our God is now known as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's almost like a closer relationship. And Jesus taught us to pray to God as the Father. And Paul in his prayer always says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Paul prayed. And then we say, okay, what about El Shaddai? What about Jehovah, Shalom, Sikenu, Rapha, all this? What about El Elyon? What about all these other names of God? Has they been replaced? No. What we see is, in this life, at least through the revelation of the Bible, there's a limited amount of names that God chose to reveal Himself. His latest revelation was that He is our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second person of the Godhead is now revealed as Jesus Christ. Before was the Word. His original name was the Word. It's revealed as our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, having revealed Himself as our Lord Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with Him. Now, whenever we say, in the name of Jesus, it's as if we are invoking the presence, the nature, and the power of Jesus. That's why every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. That's why demons flee. You lay hands in the name of Jesus. You do everything in the name of Jesus. It's as if this name is now the New Testament name that we are to magnify. It's a new, with a new dispensation, there was a new name given. So let's look at God revealing Himself to us. Every time there's a new dispensation, He gives us a new name about Him. Remember, God is so great that in this earthly life, you cannot know all of God. And who knows, after we leave this planet Earth, when this planet is finished, when you enter into a dimension of heaven, you'll find that the earthly language are all very limited, and God reveals Himself by some exotic name. He said, "Whoa, wow, another level of God." So what is a name and what is in a name? A name is sufficient for its season, and it brings forth a revelation of part of God's nature. And God has many names. In the prophecy about Jesus, it says, and His name shall be called, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Hey, all this belongs to Jesus. Why so many names? Because of so many dimensions of God. God, as many, what is God's name in another planet? Another galaxy? What is God's name? Surely you don't think that the funny thing about most science fiction movie is that you travel to any planet, any galaxy, they also still speaking English. Well, English becomes international galactic language. No, each galaxy, each planet got their own language. They will know God by their own understanding and their language. And remember, language are sometimes limited by our experience. And in Africa, in certain hot places where there's no snow, they have no African word for snow. But to the Eskimos, they know there are many types of snow. Soft snow, hard snow, and fuzzy snow. And in the middle, they got at least 7-8 different words for snow to describe different types of snow. So a language is limited by the experience of the people. And there's no doubt.
that all the revelation of God, all the many names that is given to us, is because He is so great and He chose to reveal Himself one name after the other according to our ability to know Him and progress. He said to Moses, I did not reveal myself as Yahweh, I revealed as El Shaddai. Now, He is the same God. He declared that He is the same God. He says in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses said, what name shall I call you by? And the Lord says in chapter 3, now bearing in mind chapter 6, He make it very clear that Yahweh was not revealed to Abraham and only to Moses. He says here in chapter 3, verse 15, He says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And He says, go gather the elders and tell them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, appeared to me. And He's visiting us. And He now has adopted a new name called, I am the I am. Say, whoa, okay, we never heard that before. Say. And then in chapter 6, God clarified, He never revealed that name to Abraham. So is God changing name, or was I am His original name? I am was an all-encompassing name that God has. And He reveals His name according to what He wants to show, what He wants to reveal His glory. Now that's God. Then we come down to the matter of your own names. God knew us before the foundation of the earth. Correct? Ephesians chapter 1, very clear. Before the foundation of the world, God has chosen us. Now when He has chosen us, and you exist, even if you exist as a thought in God, but I personally believe you exist as a being in God, spirit being in God. Whatever form or shape that you think you existed before the foundation of the world. Now here's my question. What was your name before you came to the earth? Is your name something? Some other language. What was your name before you come to the earth and your parents call you Tang Ting Tong? So what was your name before that? And then, after this planet Earth, when you finish all your work, you also got a new name. See, your name on Earth is not sufficient for heaven. Definitely, in heaven God says, David, a few million Davids come. Which one? Peter, and then if God called me Peter up there, and Apostle Peter might be saying, hey, I was the one He gave the name. But there are a few millions of us will be saying, hey, which one? That's why when people search for me and type Peter Tan, there's a lot of Peter Tan too. So even the Tan surname is so common. And the Bible says in the book of Revelations, that when we have finished this earth, this work on earth, and when we have gone forth in God, among the promises that He gave in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone. On the stone, a new name, which no one knows except him who receives it. Well, we all got new names. So in heaven, we will have a new name. None of us will be known by our early name. And you'll be thanking God for that. Because English is a very poor language up there. Very limited. And you wouldn't want your English name or even your Chinese name or your Indian names to be up there. Because it's very limited. Names that are formed by human language. A fallen language. So, here's my question to you. What is your real name? Well, then after tonight, you say, I don't know who I am now. You're going, no. Your name as you are is sufficient for who you are in your work on earth presently. See, a name relates to the work and the purpose. And here's the good news, in case some of you are thinking of changing your name. Before you were born, God sometimes inspired names for you. Do you know that Moses' name just means reed? Yeah, to draw from the reed. But the root of the name means that. It's drawn from the bulrushes. I mean, imagine if your name after a rhinoceros or something. You know, why? Because when you were born, a rhinoceros was also born at the same time. Right. So, can you imagine these our early names, you know? But somehow in the course of predestination, he sometimes caused a name to be added to you. Once in a while, you got a Jabez, whose name was named after pain. You know, his mother called him pain. You know, why? Because it caused his mother pain. And poor Jabez said, God, don't let that name be really of a nature for me. Change it. And he became a blessing rather than pain. And so it is important for us to realize that even our human names are temporarily given. The real name that we have will be received when we get into the dimension of heaven. And understanding God with his many names, understanding us where we are with our many names. A name is sufficient for a job. Now I begin to describe the word and the angels of God that have manifested to us. The angel, archangel whom we always call by the code name Shammah, we use that name as a code name, although that's not his real angelic name. And most of the angelic name in angelic language are not very, even Michael and Gabriel, the two names are named in the Bible. They end it with the word L, you know, Gabriel, Raphael. Raphael is found in Tobit, the book of Tobit. And most of them with an L, Michael, but not all of them in that way. Actually, those are shortened forms. As you all know, when you want to spell the word, let's say even Michael, in Russian, is Mikhail. So it's not exactly the same like Michael. So Michael, Mikhail, is different. Or, you know, even Abraham. As we all know, Malay is Ibrahim. So it's also different. It sounds like two different persons. So how do we translate a sound? English is only one of the early languages to translate a sound. Their real pronunciation, none of us, until you speak in tongues, then possible. Then sometimes some of you are speaking in tongues, your tongue goes... So you wonder, wow, what kind of tongue is this? But apparently, among the 30 angels who visit from other galaxies, Pastor David used to talk about how, when I asked him more detailed questions, which now can share a little bit with you, is when they all speak, at one point they sing together, or they were praising God together, and when he heard their voices, some of their voices sound like the wind. So who knows, some of their tongues sound like, woo-hoo! Now some of you are quite comforted, because all your life, while everybody go, your tongue go, woo! Well, you might be speaking another galactic tongue somewhere from the heavens above. And some of the pronunciation of the archangels among the 30 who visited with us while in Madaba, some of them one is like the wind, sound like different sounds. And so you could imagine, language finds it hard to romanize the sounds into the whatever language you're using. And that's why tongues could be the closest they could release it. And the angelic names that were revealed are in angelic language, and they're actually very long. They've been shortened for us. And sometimes angels assume certain names in order for us to relate to them at that level. As a start. And that is why the archangel, not his angelic name, when he first revealed himself to David, and that was sometime last year. And when was the incident about the girl in the hospital? That was last year.
Last year, August.
Wow. Yeah, around August, September, nearly a year ago. That he says, introduced himself as Shama. And of course, when you look at the Hebrew, there are several derivations of Shama. When I heard the word Shama, I realized that it's more tied to the word Jehovah Shama, which is, you know, the Lord is here, and the Lord's presence. And Shama more of the Lord's presence. And then in the book of Exodus, when God spoke in chapter 23 to Moses and talked about an angel that God was going to send among them. In chapter 23, verse 20, God says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." In the Old Testament story, this is the same archangel, Shama, the same person that was doing that work last time. Now that same archangel is in our midst, reveal himself as saying that we can call him Shama, but his real angel name is a different one, which he revealed in the seven churches when Pastor David was there. And his responsibility is this, as you can see in chapter 23, verse 21. "Beware of him, obey his voice, do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." And we have learned of his more and more, and even what we know now is only limited to the revelation he has allowed. From understanding that he is the same archangel as the one, the commander of the Lord hosts, that is in the book of Joshua. From understanding that when Pastor David saw how he relate to the 30 archangels that came from the other galaxy, then we realize, he has a relationship to the other archangels there, and they seem to be working together. Two, the revelation of how he has 7 archangels, 12 archangels with him, 70 generals with him, of which only 3 are assigned to Pastor David and one of the lieutenants to Lydia. And then there are millions of other angels over him. And my friends, we are working with very powerful angelic forces whom God has assigned. And let's from the human side, just because you cannot see them, you might feel them once in a while, you might see them in your dreams or your visions, and let's not take it lightly. But the interesting thing is, when he chose to reveal his name, or a code name that we call it, as Shama, he was trying to identify that he was representing God's presence, and we are now following the instructions as revealed to us. Remember last week I did a teaching on how we have to be one with the archangels or the angels that God assigned to you. And you have to learn to be one, just as you're one with the Spirit of God. And we have to be one with one another and we do the work of God. And recognizing the archangel that God has assigned and Shama, that our code name for him, and we realize that God's name is in him. And a lot of the instructions that we have been given, besides the Holy Spirit revealing and confirming things and the Word of God confirming things, the names that have been given in a symbolic form. Let me give an example. When Elisha received the Spirit of God, why did he have to say the Spirit of Elijah? Because Elijah's anointing is now defined. So when you got similar anointing of like him, you say the spirit of Elijah. You do not mean the human spirit of Elijah. It's not the human spirit of Elijah. It was the anointing that was on Elijah, coming on Elisha. When John the Baptist launched off his ministry, he was also one of those who have the spirit of Elijah upon him. Meaning the anointing that's on his life is upon his life. And so sometimes we identify that when a human being personifies certain things, then you will say the spirit of. Or sometimes we even use the name of God identifying with a Bible character. For example, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, or Elisha saying, where is the God of Elijah? Because of the person's walk with God, we identify in that manner. And sometimes, as names are given to us, or change when we come to a time of a different level of relationship with God, or something else that God wants to do. Like for example, Abraham changed his name to Abraham. Sarah changed her name to Sarai changed her name to Sarah. And Jacob was a drastic change. His name was changed to Israel, Prince of God, to identify the new character that he develops. And in the same manner, sometime, remember, names in the spirit world are tools to describe a particular work. If our God himself calls himself by different name, but the name doesn't limit him, the name just reveals one aspect of God. Imagine the high archangels of God with different names. They sometimes identify, you can call me this for this juncture of work, and you can know me as this. And the same way, like our earthly name are not our eternal names. But on earth, by the predestination of God, God has allowed your names to identify certain things. Sometimes your parents name you to mean some other thing, but it has a dual meaning, it ends up something else. Like my Chinese name means double blessing, but it has a spiritual meaning of a doubling. And then when I chose the name Peter, there was a reason chosen. I probably don't know the full picture, but only God knew that in the end I was supposed to grow in the apostolic ministry. Although my nature is more like Paul, but I'm supposed to be like a rock. And so when I asked Pastor David, how did he get the name David? He says, you know, one of your sisters give you the name. No coincidence. And so if you check sometimes the very root of your names, God has a design in it. And the same with the angels that are working with us, their real names are in angelic language. And when you go further into God, and you find that Michael and Gabriel, the two names in the Bible, might be even more complex in other languages. And reveal on the earth, in a limited way, just for our understanding. And throughout the same, throughout the ages and throughout the Bible time, names have been tools to reveal different things. And sometimes when you work with little children, etc., and if your name, like for example, if you came from a culture or language where your name is very long, and you're working with little children, and your name might be, you know, Kariautusta, you know, then you ask the children to pronounce, good morning, Mr. Kariautusta. Very tough for them. So you might say, hey, just call me Curry. You know? So, in the same way, that a name is a tool, and to different languages, in different way, it The name ties to the nature, the character, and the work. And all of you have your particular name, and you have been born with a certain name, or you adopted certain names, and sometimes you grow into a name because of your destiny as you discover it. And same with the angels, and archangel, they all have different names, and you wonder, and here's the wondering, who gave Michael his name and Gabriel his name? Who named them? And you're wondering, hey, when were they born? Who named them? Well, and when God named them, he would have named them by their nature and task. And they might have a very long name in to their nature and task, and God can rename them as their tasks change and as they themselves grow in different dimensions. So names are tools in the spiritual dimension, but they're sufficient for each revelation. And the reason being, as we grow in God, do you know that when you cast out demons, you need to know, and we have thought about casting out demons before, to have authority over demons, you need to know either their name or their number or their nature. That's why when the disciples were unsuccessful casting out the demon in Mark chapter 9, Jesus just straight away says, and began to address the spirit. He addressed a very type of spirit, and it came out straight away. So it's important to know what you're addressing, but your intention to address that particular dimension is very powerful. And so it's important for us to understand the place for names in the spiritual dimension. And as we work closely with the archangels of God, and in the timing of God, is for God to reveal different dimensions and different things. And sometimes names are used in terms of a parable. And remember, Paul unveiled the parable between Hagar and Sarah. They represent two different mountains, one grace, one law. So he unveils certain things in a name because they have much revelation involved. And there's a task and a purpose for that. And so understanding that, as we work together with the archangels of God, and we work together, and remember what we are doing to bring the presence of God is to understand obedience. You obey all his commandments. And of course, the commandments are in line with the word. Number two is to understand that God reveals himself, and we begin to understand God through different names. And your relationship with God to different names. My relationship with God, God is my Papa. It's my way of addressing God the Father. When I meditate, when I think about God, and he's always that loving Abba Papa to me. And your relationship with God, and my relationship to one that I call the Spirit of Wisdom, is intimate, and I seek to work with new angels that are assigned to me, and the angel with the scroll, you know, every time before I sleep, before I wake up, I always think about him and communicate. And we have to become one with the angels that God assigned with us, and we have to become one with the Holy Spirit, of course, and we seek to be one with Jesus, of course, one with God the Father. But that oneness comes. And part of it is learning relationships and understanding that. And and it's been very good to be able to relate to some of the archangels of God and to relate to them. And sometimes the interesting thing I find, you know, David could be in his house somewhere and I go somewhere else. And then sometimes, because in the spirit there's no distance. And so one time before our meeting, God was telling me certain things that we're going to discuss. I say, all right, Lord, why don't you tell, you know, as the angel was talking to me about all the various things to discuss, and I say, please let David know too. And indeed, it also revealed to him, same thing. And then we come and then we discuss the same thing. And the spiritual dimension is very interesting. No distance in the spirit, and they are deeply aware. And and the few times are the comical ones when we were at Madaba, when I was leading, driving the van, wasn't it? And I was actually thinking, because we're going to pass by some, they're supposed to be baptism thing. And I was actually thinking of it, you know, and I sort of know that it's about to come out or something. And I say, okay, it's going to come by, because I memorized the map before, and I knew that we would see it before we see the hotel that we stay. So I was going to, you know, thinking, oh, okay, it's good to drop by, but I don't know all the details. And immediately his angel, who is in the car behind, says, oh, I'm about to stop by. So he quickly overtook me and lead the way. Didn't give me a chance to stop. And of course the time was late. And for me, you know, food and everything is secondary. All of them were hungry by that time. And so it's interesting, just the thought I mentioned. But I find it a good, interesting relationship. And if we appreciate the spiritual dimension more, and we have come to the stage in September, there's no place for doubting now. If you're in it now, you're in it. Before September, you can ask, is this of God? Is this not of God? Is this deception? Or is this really the angel of God? If you're still asking those questions, you're in the wrong place. Yeah, you come to the stage that you must know. Now remember, what you are struggling with was things that Abraham himself struggled with. And many of Bible people, let me ask you, when Abraham first heard the voice that tells him, get out from your land and go to the land of Ur, Abraham's father was an idol worshipper. So he will be like the first generation to what we got. Who is that talking to Abraham? Abraham will say, hey, is this God? And then don't forget, his father got idols there. Is this the idol? Is this, and who is this new God? Who is this new God that's trying to reveal himself to me? And Abraham, like all humans, will pass the time of doubt, questioning. But he reached a point where he realized that this voice was true. This vision that he had and this voice that he was hearing at night was true. He followed that voice after his father died. And when he told to his father about leaving the land, his father all went along. And then he stayed until his father died. And then he got to still follow that voice. But that voice later manifests as an angel of God, as God's presence in his life. And through time, he trusted this voice. He trusted his experience. Abraham had no Bible. He had no Bible. He trusted his experience. All the people in the Bible had no Bible except, but after Moses, they had a Bible. But even with the Bible, could you have become an Elijah without trusting in your experience and just have the law of Moses? No. If you just follow the law of Moses diligently, all the best you can do is become a scribe, like Ezra. To become an Elijah, he has to trust this new experience he's having. This voices is here. In fact, Elijah had an appearance from Enoch, as we all understand. And he might say, hey, this guy claims to be Enoch. Is he not? Where is the Bible for Enoch? It is mentioned, but how do I know? I don't know what he looked like. Bible don't have photographs. So he could go through, every human will go through that. And he must have his doubts. He must have his questions. And in the end, the basic question that I tell everyone, does it bring you closer to God? Does it bring more holiness into your life? Does it make you love God more? Does it make you pray more? And in the end, the blessings of God also come. But I put the blessings lower, because the devil also tried to do that with people. And give blessings with suffering. But the main thing is, it brings the whole thing closer to God. And is it in line with all the revelation that God has revealed? Everything has passed the test where we are. And every single person in the Bible, from Moses, from Elijah, And by the time it reached the Apostle Paul, there was no New Testament. They had to fully rely on their experience and the words that they remember from Jesus. They had the Old Testament, but the Old Testament does not say anything about the church. All in shadow form. They got to interpret. And Paul has to rely on these experiences he had with God. His first experience was to be knocked down to the ground, and he hears this voice that says, "I am Jesus." While he was on the ground, you never hear Paul say, "How do I know you're Jesus?" His first response is, "Oh, you know, what must I do, Lord?" So it depends on the intensity of our experiences. And Christianity is made up from both the written word of God and a true experience with God. Because God and the Spirit continues to give experiences. Most important thing is they are in line with the word. They do not contradict. They confirm the word. But think about it. The people in the Old Testament relate to real spirit beings and real angels. They're not making it up. If one of the Old Testament people were to come alive today, and Abraham tells you he meets constantly with his archangel, will any of you doubt him? You will put the same doubt on him as you are doing with David right now. You will. And if Elijah were to come today, you might also doubt him the same way, because doubt is part of the human psyche. But you know the test that God says? This is a real test. God says, if a prophet or a dreamer or a dream arises, the test is not even whether those things come to pass. The test is, does it bring you closer to God or further from God? That's the main test. And God says, even if what they say come to pass and they say worship idols, then you know it's wrong. But when they keep turning you back to the word, keep telling you to go back to God, keep going back to Jesus, why would the devil want to make you go closer to Jesus? And remember, in this last day revival, we're going to work even closer with angels. We're going to work closer with God the Father. We're going to work with the Spirit of God, of course. But we're going to work even closer with angels and archangels until we are real team in God. And that is why we need to understand it is a real experience we're having with God. Not something false, something dramatic is happening. We are now in the process, like Moses in the wilderness building the tabernacle for 1 year. Like King Solomon taking 7 years to put together and to build those things that are required for the temple and put it together. We are given 3 years. 1 year has come to pass. 2 more years to go to finish the exact instructions given to us. But we have already been blessed so far. And there will be more blessings that come our way. There are 5 anointings to bring back, 7 anointings to bring back, 5 plus 7, plus the glory of God is going to be shown. I've even passed, you know, some of the supernatural books like William Branham. If you read William Branham, he worked with one angel that appeared to him. And when I read Todd Bentley and some of the others long ago, where they claim to meet the same angel, when I read their testimony, that is before Todd Bentley fell, when I saw it and I saw all the description, the spirit within me, which Pastor David saw, I had my own angels and the spirit within me tells me, this is not true. This is false. And we had a group of 300 over Bible students all over. They asked me, is this a revival? Is this it? Is this a revival? So I said, no. I said, in the spirit, I could see light, but I also see shades of dark. And I said, this is it. And it's online. All that we wrote to each other and all that we described is on our Google group when we had the... and I think you were part of the Google group. And 300 over. Remember, they asked those questions. Say, is this a revival, end time revival? I say, no, this is what I see in the spirit. And that's before I met you. And they claim these different names. I look, I say, these are not that. not really true. And they claim to have met the angel of William Branham, who helped him brought all the miraculous healing. I knew that was wrong. But then, in the right timing, I passed the book to Pastor David and said, look, read this book. He's also a prophet. Although he went astray and different things, we got a lot to learn. I say, read this book. And then, if Shama, the archangel, allows it, let me know what is this relation, what is this angel in relation to Shama. And I did it in a polite way, you know. Not like some of you say, hey, tell Shama to tell me this. Bring Shama here, bring Shama there. Oh, you all don't know who Shama is. No, I did it in a polite way. I said, if he so allow it, and if he so chooses, then, you know, do you must give some respect, got protocol. And and then in the timing, Shama did reveal after he finished the book. He said, okay, and even give me the name of this angel of William Branham. And then this was one of the 12 archangels under Shama. Think about it, my friend. All those online, think about it. The start of the revival in the 20th century can be traced back to the Azusa Street Revival and to the ministry of William Branham, even though he went astray. Lord of the 50s revival. And that was only one of the 12 archangels under our wonderful Shama, who has been so patient working with us. So remember to know who we are working with. There is one twelfth. Of course, not to say that all archangels are the same. And here is Shama, who has all these dimensions that he's revealing. Sometimes it boggles both of us when we describe the things that God is doing. But we are in awe. We have passed the stage of doubt. We have passed the stage of questioning to right now, everything they reveal, okay, what did the Bible say? And how do we flow with this? And where did we go from here? Because we are like Moses building the tabernacle for 1 year, Solomon built the temple for 7 years, where we know that whatever road we are traveling is leading us to this glory. And if you ask me, or ask Pastor David, what will it be like? Even we do not know how the fullness of that. All I can say is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 will be true. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him, to those who are, who love Him intensely, and who really are called according to His purpose, and that is what God has to those who wait on Him. And that's why we spend this time with God. And it's interesting, sometimes instruction comes from Shama himself, say, fast, pray, and all those things, all pointing to glory to Jesus. And we need to appreciate the amount of investment that God is putting in us. The amount of work that He's asking us to trust Him in. And the amount, and the privilege that He has given us to be a part of whatever He's doing on this planet. We need to praise God for that. And with that, I believe I prepared the ground for this next level of revelation that, you know, according as Shama permits you to share, I've told Pastor David to, you know, bring us to the next level, so that we all can work closely, and even tonight start praying about those things, so that when we start traveling, because you're going to travel in groups of seven, and you need to be sensitive to your archangels and your angels that are working with you. And as you learn to be sensitive, you'll be led by God, and you'll be blessed by God in all the different dimensions. Praise God. Pastor David.
Thank you, please. Okay. What Pastor just mentioned from 1 Corinthians, you know, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. This is something that that we will truly experience in our lifetime. We have mentioned before from Isaiah 59 verse 19, when the word of God said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Bear this in mind. Right now, whatever you know of the Christian world, whatever you know of the past revival, whatever you know of the practices, of the anointing, of the ministry, of men and women in this world, all this, the standard that God will bring in is going to be above all this. So there will be no doubt. Because right now, we are, even I think a few weeks ago, I talked about deliverance, how people are still practicing, making people vomit, all this, and there are always question and doubt. There are some people who experience it will turn against the very thing that God wants to manifest. You know, it took me many prayer and many years to be able to speak in tongue, and that was only when after I was attacked by a two evil spirit, and then I was asked, crying out for help. Then the voice say, call your angel. I say, where got angel? You help me. Then he say, call your angel. So I say, okay, angel, you come. And then whoa, this huge angel, which I now know was Shama, all the time watching over me. And after that, when two spirits went away, I started speaking in tongues. You know, so, and that was because when I was at the age of 17, I went to one Pentecostal meeting with my group of friends, all pulled me there, and then all listened to all the servants, and okay, who want to receive tongue? I said, okay, I want. They all line up, you know. All line up. They all pray and pray. A few people pray over me, you know. And wow, it was a long 1 hour, you know. I had nothing. You know, wow, they pray. One by one, they all started speaking in tongues. They all went, man, let me, you know. I was sitting there. All then I was the target, you know, because all the pastors, all the one whole big group, all laying hands, all the spitter coming on me, everything. I have no tongue. So I, oh, praise the Lord, you have the tongue. I went to the toilet. I was stuck there for more than an hour, you know. And that one make me say, no such thing as tongue. You know, and for all the years when I even nearly had a fight with my brother, you know, from SBC. We were speaking a tongue, no such thing, almost go, knuckles to knuckles, you know. You see, this is, right now, in this world, there are many things which are true, things of God, but it is imitated. There also, there is a lot. This is the level. But the time will come where eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. God is going to raise a standard and no one will doubt. This is why 3 weeks ago when after my job, Shama said, let me show you my glory again. He showed me one time. But this time, wow, I was so overwhelmed. Good thing I was holding on to the post, you know. And I was looking heaven everywhere, millions of angels. You know, he has 70 generals. Each general is in command of 1 million angels. He has 12 archangels. And they all have their own forces. Then I saw chariots and chariots of angels on chariots. Forces and all array in certain position. And there is such, come to this point here. I recall when I first saw him, also same in Bedok Reservoir, and that one was jogging at about 5:30 a.m. or maybe around 6, it was still dark. And I think I shared before, far away I saw this man walking towards me. And I said, wow, who is this man, you know, walking? So I said, never mind, whether it's Kui or angel, never mind. You know? So I talk and I walk. When I was quite near, it disappeared, no? I said, whoa, wow, who is this? So I went back. But and then little girl's deathbed in the hospital, Sharma was there. And then the girl was crying. Tell the dark man to go away. And you know, Sharma is like a Middle Eastern look, darker than me. I said, tell the man to go away. Tell the man. Everyone, the mother, the father, my pastor friend, all were so afraid because they felt the presence at the door. And the girl, she said, tell him, go away, tell him. Then he walked near to the girl and she was screaming. You know? And he looked at me and said, my name is Sharma. So I told the girl, I said, this is, I was still not sure. I said, this is your angel who is going to bring you to heaven. And I told the mother, I said, she's going back tonight. And then, you know, the story I told before, how Sharma opened her eyes to see both of us. We were brought into the dimension. And now we know it's a cube. The cube was opened to both of us and we saw. And she was in heaven and she said, and immediately her pain was gone. And say, oh, I like this place. It's so beautiful. Oh, I have no pain. And she kept saying. And I said, yeah, you're going there soon. And that night she died. And then at her funeral, Sharma was there. And I said, oh, okay. You're still around. Then that night when I went home, he came to my window and looked at me. And said, I said, what are you doing here? I mean, hey, that night, not that I quarreled my wife, no. She like to sleep aircon. I don't like sleep aircon. So I said, okay, lah, you sleep aircon tonight. I slept at the hall. And then I was about to sleep, or, you know, then he looked through the window. Hey! Then he walked in. I said, what are you doing here? I thought you brought the girl home. He said, no, I'm going with you to church tomorrow. And that was the morning when I came in, and then he was his birthday. And then Sharma said, I want to bless him and prophesy over him. And I did not say out loud, but I told him publicly, I said, 1 year. And 1 year came through, and the Lord fulfilled those that the things that I prophesied for him and Pastor Amy. So, you see, this, and then it has developed. It was in Pergamos that after meeting Michael and Gabriel, that Sharma revealed his real name. And it has been going on. So, you know, this is a relationship which I find because of the obedience he's revealing. And we are going to be hearing more things. All right. Now, last week, after teaching on working with our individual angels, I did say, Sharma want me to pray for all of you, to reveal to you your angels to work together. And then when I was in the cube, a lot more things were revealed. And after I prayed for all of you, Eddie complained, you know. He said, hey, he didn't tell me about my angel. You know why? Of course, it was the second time his angel told me, my name is. You know, and I paused for a while, say, for all the angels I was praying, oh, his angel was bold enough to say, my name is so and so. And I paused for a while and I had to go back and pray about it. Why did his angel reveal? And then Sharma later told me, say, he wants to reveal all the names of your individual angels. And so I wanted to confirm. I wanted Sharma to confirm, because when my wife's angel was given to her, I knew the name. I mean, you see, when I was in Madaba, Sharma revealed the 30 names of the 30 archangel, and I couldn't remember all the names. And then 3 weeks ago, when he revealed himself, and then I asked him, can I sit down and you tell me, spell out to me, because the name, very cheap one. Okay. So I said, I can't even pronounce properly, so all the 30 names, I wrote down exactly. Even for my wife's, my general's name, my three general, also know exactly their names. And then, so because of, he told me that he won't reveal the names of your individual angels, I say, you confirm to me, assure me. So I say, you reveal the name to Lydia, her angel's name. Then, you know, then I'll know, I want to be sure. Okay? And this morning we went jogging. I mean, she doesn't jog. When she walks, I jog. So, and before that, I was telling her, I say, I think it was her who asked me, I say, can I know my angel's name? I say, you go and pray. You ask for it. You tell your angel to tell you. Okay? So, when we came back, you see, she was thinking, she was also not sure, so she was praying. Then towards afternoon, she said, I think I know the name of my angel. Now, last week when Sharma told me that he will reveal the names of your angel, it is not their real name, okay? Like what Pastor said about the name will represent a certain character, certain characteristic. And he told me, all the names of your angel, all the names come from the mighty name, a mighty man of David. Okay. And then when this morning I say, okay, you tell me now. He say, I know the name is one of the David's mighty men. Oh, I was very happy because I didn't tell her anything. And I say, okay, you tell me. And he say, I'm not sure. I got three choices. You know, she was not sure because she say all start with the same letter. So she say, but at least she got the letter right. So I say, okay, show me the three names. And one of them was the name. And I revealed to her. Last night also, Tuesday I had a meeting. I mean, I was my usual time with Pastor and with Amy and my wife. We were going through some of the details, some of the things that revelation, and the Lord gave me a word also for her. And I said, "Oh, Friday I will pray for you. I have a word for you." I said, "Oh, okay." But last night, Sharma said, "Do it now," because it was also because of the Bible teaching. Okay? So I told her, "I said there are two names for you to choose," and then. She went back. Then this evening when I came, I said, I knew straight away she chose one name because I saw the angel. Because when I was praying for her yesterday, two angels were there. So when she came in this one, it was one of the angels that she, the name that she selected came with her. So, you see, this is something that when Sharma talked about September, a new milestone. I have mentioned before in a highway that we are praying, building, angels are working along with men and women. Okay, and this is happening. This is the time where you will get to know the name of your angel and you're going to work together. This is why just now worship, I purposely went behind. To take a look at how you are working with your angels in worship. And it was very good. Okay, a lot of you were in sync, so-called. Okay, and I think it is the right time for you to know the name of your angel. So, now, it is a code name. It's not their... my wife, just now before I came out, say, "Hey, so can you tell me my angel's real name?" I gave the name to her, say, "Hey, how to pronounce?" Yeah. So I will not reveal the real name of your angel. You don't need to, because it is the code name that you need to know to work with your angels. Last week, I also, when I prayed for Esther Tana, remember in the prophecy I gave her in Mukawe, I say she's a captain of 1,000. And then this lady at one of the lunch, I say, "Hey, Pastor David, do you say 1,000 or 1,000s? Wow. I say 1,000, 1,000, not 1,000s, you know. A leader of 1,000. So then the revelation was given. It is, of course, there is a certain leadership in her to work with physical people. But the revelation was she has 1,000 angels. Just like my wife, Lieutenant. Is a lieutenant. I mean, we are like all this code name and all this rank is this not their true rank, right? But it's just a status. So, and I told her, the Lord has assigned her this 1,000 so that she can also assign the angels. So when she go around praying and she see a sick person, she say, "Lord, send angel to minister," and the angel will go. Or you see, a mother scolding a small child, and then there's no peace, a lot of chaos. She can send. I say, "Lord, send an angel to help them." You know, that is her role, just like my wife's role also. So last week, I remember, I think three person, you got two angels. And I also said that some of you also, your angel is a warring angel. So, you see, God is deploying. Through Shama, he is deploying his forces for the work that we are about to embark, our prayer walk. We are going to enter into places where there is spiritual warfare, where there need to be tearing down and building up. And we are called to go and prophesy when we go and do prayer walk. So this is the right time. Okay, for you to know the name of your angel and especially the characteristic of your angel. So for Pastor Amy, her angel's name is called Eliezer. God has helped. The root name, God has helped. And you know, it's going to speak of her ministry. And that it is God who will help her. God who will empower. When God help, he doesn't just, the word help is not just a very small word. Help comes in empowering, in enabling, in victory, you know, in overcoming. God helps her. So the name that each of you get will have a certain characteristic. And that will give you that confidence to do the work that God has called you. David has 600 mighty men. Okay? And all these, they have their exploit, they have their characters. So, we will release to you. So, I'll probably do that next Friday. So, I want you to let Eddie know next week. If you are coming, write down, give me a name so that I will write down so that I can write down your name and the name of angel and then prophesy and give you some revelation. Okay? We'll do that next Friday. So that, and I think the timing is right. Next Friday and then the following Friday, we are going out prayer walk. So, I was joking this morning, just now. I said, don't say, me, I cannot now. This is not the time for you to say, "I cannot." Because last week when I prayed for some of you, I rebuked the angel. And I rebuked also. Okay, because there tend to be doubt and you have resisted the work of God for you. So the Lord wants us to be an army. That's why the fact that all this name is going to come from David's mighty man. And yesterday, Pastor also taught from 1 Chronicles how David needed the army to conquer the whole of Israel. And then the temple will be built. So there is all this significance. It's all very biblical that we have been doing. All right. So now, do not, of course, all the mighty men died lah. Don't say, "Ayo, you give me a name that died one lah." Don't lah. Okay. It's the name of the significant. Well, all died wah. Now of them is living wah. Even David died. So how my name David so yeah. No, you know, cannot be, okay? So do not think of that, okay? But of course, if one of you get the name of Jabez, then, okay, it's going to be a name that will suit you in your character also, and in your ministry, okay? So, do not think of the negative part of it, but look at the positive, where the name is to empower, to enable you to do the work. And surely this is the standard that God wants us. You know, we have never in this revival or the other past revival where we say, you know, everyone are working with their angels. In the past, yes, William Branham worked with an angel. But even that, the angel was not all the time with him. No? He has to wait. I think he has to wait until the angel come, and then it happens. But this time is, you are going to have full knowledge of your angel. And I have seen in my life how God changes angel as you progress. Okay? So, if that happens, I will tell you. Or maybe you will also know by the time. Alright? So, be prepared for that. So, I would like to know that you are coming next week. Then, so that I can prepare to write down and give to you. Alright? Okay? So, let's have this in mind as we go into prayer. And then we keep this in mind, pray about it. It may sound foreign to you right now, but talk to your angel. Pastor has already established the angels. Every angel represents the presence of God. Represent God. They can do nothing of themselves. What they say, what they do is a direct instruction from God. So they are representative of God in your life. So if you this is a time where there must not be doubt on that. Because then you will quench the spirit. All right? Okay? So Linus, you come, we sing some song and then lead the people into worship.
Okay. Remember that Pastor David, I will look into also, I'll work with him on the names, the Hebrew names of the mighty men of David. Some of you get the meaning from Strong's Concordance and all those. Those are more the superficial level. So we'll give you the full meaning of what the Hebrew and its root actually means. Most of the names are positive, even though they look negative in some of the Strong's Concordance. And remember that these are the names that your angels adopted in this present work to work with you. And you're not given like the real original name of their name in the angelic language. And I talk about just now teaching about adoption of names for certain work. Just like God used the various names when he worked with different people. So the angels have more than what we need, and as they are assigned to our lives, they want to manifest certain characteristics. And so, as far as we know in this present move, and as we progress in God and the glory of God shows up, they might reveal more and more to you. Just as Shama revealed himself only as Shama at first, and it's only when David have obeyed him and obeyed God and traveled through the seven churches that at a certain point, then that was when he revealed his angelic name. And he says, I am, and he reveals his angelic name. And he says, I have been with Adam, I have been with this, I've been working with them and with mankind since when. And that was when he was astounded. Even before he mentioned that name to me, I happened to be writing an email to you. Remember? And I said, Shama is not his real name. You know? So while the Lord was preparing me, I also knew it. And the spirit of wisdom has been working. I said, I know in my spirit this is not his real name. And I gave two choices. I remember. And it was one of those choices. I said, it could be either of these. So I said, from the way he's working, he looks like these two. And so remember, when we do our homework, I'm going to look into the Hebrew deeper. And the reason for you to start learning to work with your angels is part of this revival. So you don't have to actually talk to them. All is your thoughts. Once your angel adopt the name to work with you, and even if your thoughts, you're thinking about the name and its full meaning, you really relate to them. It's just a method that he gives us to work together closely with the angels that God has assigned to us. Praise
God. Now, once you have the knowledge of the name of angel, don't spread all around. Okay? Keep it to yourself. That's how I reveal for Pastor Amy, because I just want you to know the mighty men. Of all the mighty men, they are always the first three. In First Chronicles, Benaiah was great. He was called a mighty man. But then, the Bible also say he was not among the first three. So, because Pastor Amy calling and ministry is in a fivefold together. Okay, so there are two other names of the. First three, those who the Lord will bring in two other person with to work with us, all right, keep it within us. Okay, don't advertise it. Oh, okay, the name is there. Now there is going to be a lot of revelation coming. And this is why when Sharma told me my three generals are not just bodyguards, you know. All the time I say, well, bodyguard. They're not all, each of them have a million angels, and I'm gonna assign all these angels to the 13 countries. Okay, we are gonna impact 3 million people just from our church alone. And just now Natasha, the group one leader, she came to, she said the Lord gave her a revelation, and she said exactly the same thing. The Lord revealed to her, you know, and she moves prophetically also, and the Lord gave her vision also concerning COG. So this is something that that we believe is the word of God. On the 27th morning when we come, and after the building of altar, I have a word to release. So prepare all of us, because that word release is also not to just Singapore, it's going to be to the spirit realm for the revival. Alright? So let's continue to pray into this. We will sing, then after that we'll slowly dim our signal to you. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.